Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, hey.
Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me?
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for John Williams today. I hope you have something yummy in front of you, probably, given the texts that are coming in on our line, 312-981-7200, probably a pile of cookies. In fact, somebody left the most delicious cookies over in the kitchen here at WGN, and I will confess, I indulged in just a few during one of our news breaks. They were delicious, whoever made those. So hopefully you've got your pile of Christmas cookies and you've got your sandwiches and you've got your questions, because we've got Terry Savage, who is a nationally syndicated columnist, the author of Savage Truth on Money, and you can find her at terrysavage.com. Hey, Terry, it is so nice to have you with us again.
Oh, good to be with you, Elise. And sure enough, you invite me on a day when I'm phoning it in and there are cookies in the break room. Very
See? More for me, I just have to say. there's so much going on in the news today. I want to start with what's going on with the unemployment numbers, which came in, I think, maybe a little bit lower than economists were thinking, but certainly higher than anybody wants to see it, about 803,000 to you. What do you think? What does that mean to you?
It means to me we are not in the dark, disastrous days of last spring, but there are still millions of people on unemployment, more people claiming unemployment every month. And if you're quibbling about 50,000 or 20,000, they used to say a recession is when unemployment exceeds so much level. A depression is when you're the one out of work. And we just know that there's probably nobody in our listening audience that doesn't know someone, a friend, a family member, a younger person just graduating from school, who is underemployed or unemployed at this point. So the economy can't really recover. It's come back a long way. The stock market's come back all the way and then some. But until we can open up, and when you have thousands of restaurants nationwide closing, hotels being empty, there are just a lot of people that did those jobs that don't have a lot of flexibility to do anything else. Those
right. They're, of course, on the lower end of the wage scale anyway, which is always such a concern when you've got, this K-shaped recovery, not something that anybody really thought was going to happen, and it ended up being the letter of recovery that we've actually had. One of the things that I know is part of the stimulus bill, which we were going to talk a lot about today, but now I don't know if there's anything to talk about. We'll see what we can find on the edges, maybe. But one of the things that was supposed to be part of this, and I assume still will be, is the extension of the unemployment insurance. And here in the state of Illinois, of course, we had the second highest number of first-time unemployment filings this week, 153,000, I think I heard Lauren Lapka say during the news break. California was higher than us. And if the total, 803,000, the fact that we're 153,000, I thought was frightening.
It is frightening. Let's bring everybody up to date, those who've been busy and just tuned in for this. The president has said, out of left field, truly, this is a terrible stimulus bill. Let's give everybody more money. I'm not signing this bill. He did that in a video, more or less said that. And now everybody's going, you've got to be kidding. I mean, the government would shut down if this bill, the stimulus bill, the $900 billion bill, was part of an over $2 trillion bill to keep the basic government going. Included, as it always is, I hate to be cynical, in every government spending bill, were a lot of things that if we went through this line by line, and I hear it's 1,500 pages long, so we won't do that.
No, 55.
A lot of things anybody could argue with.
Wait, Terry.
Foreign aid and all kinds of things get tossed into the ongoing, keep the government going part. But the stimulus bill was such a tough aspect of it to deal with, that took priority. So the real question is, will the president really not sign this bill? And with this president, you never know. And if this president does not sign the bill, the government shuts down, like tonight or tomorrow. I've given up being astounded by what happens.
Right. The bill, which is actually 5,500 pages long, nobody has actually read by their own admission, which is, I think, the even scariest part. We have to take a quick break, Terry, but stay with us because we have a whole bunch of people on the phone who want to ask you questions, and we've got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. It's 1214 on 720 WGN. It's 17 minutes past the hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for John Williams this week. So happy to be here with you, celebrating Christmas. So fun. We're going to have all kinds of fun Christmas things tomorrow as well on Christmas Eve, and I hope you can join me for that. Right now, we've got Terry Savage, nationally syndicated financial columnist, author of The Savage Truth on Money, and she is at terrysavage.com. Terry, we have a question on the line from 847. Terry, I have a 15-year mortgage with 20% down. Should I invest the rest of the cash I have in the S&P 500 total market fund or pay off the mortgage? Seems to me over 15 years, the market should beat a 2.5% interest rate. What do you think?
Well, that's like asking a doctor to prescribe knowing only your temperature and your blood pressure, but nothing else about your health history.
I know,
and I can't do
right?
that for your financial history. But I'll say this. Number one, the Fed has announced it. It's doing it. It's keeping interest rates down. It's got the ability to do so right now. So we see the 10-year Treasury note rate on which mortgages are based, and that 10-year Treasury bond rate is traded in the open markets. It's under 1%. Only one man I know predicted it to me 25 years ago and made me buy some high-yielding bonds and said, keep these, you'll be glad you did. That's the only person that ever predicted long-term treasuries would go below 1%. Now, that means right at this moment, anybody out there who has equity and income to qualify should be refinancing your mortgage to under 3%, significantly under 3% if you want to get a 15-year loan. That locks in a rate that I do not think will be sustained. I think rates will go higher because how can we print all this money to give away without devaluing the dollar, which means we have to borrow money, and those who would lend to us will demand higher rates. And I think we're going to see that over the next 5, 10, 15 years. So,
We haven't yet.
But you know what? We're waiting till every young person who has never seen the impact of inflation and a devalued dollar says, I don't care about interest rates, and then I'm going to go in debt, and floating rate will kill them. So let me just make this point, Elise. If you can lock in a rate well under 3% right now on your mortgage, I mean, when I say now, I mean in the next few weeks, you should do that because you are locking in a great deal. The only way rates could go even lower is if we're in a massive depression and then all bets are off. So I don't want to tell this person to lock up all the money in home equity. I have no idea where the stock market will go next year, but I know this. On the other hand, first, we have never seen rates this low. You want to borrow and lock that in for as long as you can. There's never been a 20-year period where you lost money on a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested. Never a 20-year period, even adjusted for inflation. That's like the S&P 500 fund. So given the trade right now, I'd lock in a 15-year or 30-year mortgage at under 3%. And I would be on a regular investment program, depending on your age and risk tolerance. And that's a big caveat. That's the answer to that.
Okay. Well, I think you agree then with the person who was texting, because that was their opinion as well. Let's take a phone call. Sharon has a question for you about the unemployment extension. Hey, Sharon. Welcome to WGN
Hi.
Radio.
Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Terry. I've been collecting unemployment since July, and I've got one more certification. Is it extended? Can it be extended? If so, how do I go about doing it?
It will be. And besides, I don't believe... Oh, are you self-employed? Was that under the PUA program?
No.
No, you have traditional unemployment. Well, first of all, in Illinois, you get 39 weeks anyway. So July, you should be eligible for more weeks. There's already an extension. But in addition to that, assuming the president signs this bill, that's a crazy thing I never thought I'd have to say, assuming the president signs this stimulus bill, not only will you get extended till March 14th if you were going to run out before that, but you will get an additional $300 a week. Now, look, Illinois IDES is the most messed up organization. I can't even think of anything terrible to compare it to. It's just
I know. I had a problem, and I called September 29th, and they told me they'd call me back as soon as possible. I'm still waiting for that call.
Exactly. What I have been telling people, this is embarrassing as a financial kind of serious person. I've been telling people to go buy two or three burner phones, you know, the kind that, I don't know, I'm guessing drug dealers use them, but God only knows who uses them, but cheap phones. Call and put all those phones on the callback list and then carry around a bag with your phones in case one of them rings and you get through to them. Because once you put your number in, they say, and you try to call back again, they say, oh, we've already got you on our list, we'll get to you. But if you have three or four of these cheap little phones, it might be worth being able to get through. That's my financial advice. I'm embarrassed to give it.
Okay. Now, you said, how many weeks are we supposed to get?
Well, Illinois, you have 39 weeks. Okay, on traditional unemployment. It's already been extended in Illinois. So I don't know where you got the idea that at the end of 6 months it was going to be your last certification. I don't know how you got that idea. It should go on longer. But for
okay, it just
have
gave me the last date of certification is what I saw.
That's not correct. But at any rate, even if they are so messed up, but even so, there ought to be an automatic extension to March 14th.
So it just keeps certifying.
Keep certified. Just keep going in and certifying.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Happy
Sharon.
Holidays to
Happy
all.
Happy holidays, and we hope you get a job soon. That would really be the best gift of all. Linda joins us on the line now. Linda has a stimulus question for you as well, Terry. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. The stimulus package is based on 2018 and 2019 tax returns. My husband died a couple months ago. He was alive in 2018 and 2019. Why would I have to send his money back? He is on those tax returns.
Okay, wait, let me start right now. This is a big controversial thing. I'm going to give you my opinion, and I will stand behind it because there are a lot of people talking about this issue. Did you already get the money?
Yes, I got the first check.
And did you deposit it?
Yes. Well, it was
okay,
direct deposit.
It was direct deposit. Fine. So there's this has kind of been buried and covered over as more and more stuff has come along, but we discussed this a lot last spring. First of all, the IRS did send out checks to people that it knew were deceased, even made some payable to the estate of the deceased. The original CARES Act said that if you filed a 2018 return and were alive at the end of 2018, you qualified for a stimulus check. Then someone brought it up to Secretary Mnuchin as he was walking out of a meeting, and he said, those people should send the money back right away. We can't be paying dead people. And so the IRS turned around, I mean, because I'm in touch with them every couple of weeks, and said, we're sending out an address. You've got to mail this money back. And then came a whole crowd of lawyers and consumer advocates and so forth that said, that's not right. You just can't do that because the law itself says people who are deceased but were filed a 2018 tax return and, you know, we're alive at the end of 2018, get the check. So my advice to you is until they come calling, just leave that money in your savings account. Now,
here's
an interesting question. If you still qualify for this new stimulus, we'll get you a $600 check. He will not be eligible for that because this can be based not only this one. If you didn't get the first 2018 check, you can still apply for a credit for that. That doesn't apply to you. But the current check will be based also on 2020 returns. So you might be eligible if you're filing a single return under $75,000 in income for yourself. But
yes,
you won't
absolutely
get one for him this go-round. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda. Sure. We appreciate your call.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. You know, Terry, I think there's so much confusion over, you know, I think people had sort of gotten it in their head. They were getting $600 and now they're hearing $2,000. And
No. They're just hearing one presidential rant. And that's what it was. I mean no disrespect. The bill has passed both houses of Congress. There is now discussion that if the president were to veto this bill, remember, this was a bipartisan bill. Nobody got everything they want. Some stuff like aid to states or legal protections were not included in it. But there were enough people in both houses of Congress to pass this bill. And I do believe that all these Congress senators and representatives want to go home.
They're already home.
If the president fails to sign this bill, they will come back and override his veto.
Yeah.
That to me, of course, I've made predictions before. I figured we'd have a stimulus last summer when the first unemployment benefits were going out. But I don't think they're going to let the government shut down. This time, their paychecks depend on it. So if the president follows through on this threat, I'm quite sure that Congress will come together to override the veto.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. We've got to get to the news at the bottom of the hour. Terry Savage is the author of The Savage Truth on Money. You can find her at terrysavage.com. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Terry. Happy holidays. All right. It is 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. We'll be back with more of the Wintrust Business Lunch next on 720 WGN. It's 12:35. Welcome back to WGN and the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining me today. Happy to take your financial questions, 312-981-7200. We had a question from 708. Can you refinance a mortgage if you're in forbearance? So this is a great question. I assume that you're in mortgage forbearance. There are about 5%, a little about 5.5% of all people who have mortgages are in forbearance at the moment. This was a special program that was put in place, and it's one of the great lessons that was learned from the Great Recession 10 years ago, when millions of Americans who had home loans and were underwater, meaning that they owed more than the home was worth, right? There was no equity in the property, or underwater where they actually had this amount that they needed to get to just to get to break even. And millions of those people went into foreclosure because they lost their jobs and couldn't make their payments. They couldn't keep up with it. And that caused a big collapse and a waterfall. And so when COVID hit, one of the really interesting and smart decisions that came up was this idea that mortgage companies that were backed, whose mortgages were backed by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the VA, USDA, FHA, that all of those loans, which accounted for well over half of all loans that were out there, they would be eligible for mortgage forbearance. And if you were current on your mortgage when you went into forbearance, your credit was not supposed to be negatively impacted by the forbearance. And it was allowed for 3 months, and then you could renew it, and then it was 6 months, up to a year. And so a lot of people went into forbearance. What was really interesting, according to the mortgage bankers, about mortgage forbearance is that even in the heart and the worst times of COVID, you still had about 16% of people who were making their payments, even though they were in forbearance and they didn't have to make their payments. They were making them anyway. They found a way to keep making their payments. What we've seen, at the most, we had about, I want to say 9% roughly of all mortgage holders, roughly one-tenth, were in forbearance. And that number is now back down to about 5.5% is the last number I saw, 5.42%. So what does that mean, if you want to refinance? Well, if you're in forbearance, you can't technically refinance. You have to come out of forbearance, and then you'll be able to refinance your mortgage. So the question for you, caller in 708 area code, is can you actually come out of forbearance? Can you start making your payments if you weren't already making your payments? And if you have been making your payments, can you actually get forbearance lifted so that you can start to have more flexibility over your payments? That would be the thing to do. But you cannot refinance your mortgage if you're in forbearance. Well, what if you get to the end of forbearance and you still can't make your payments? So now we have some people who have been in forbearance since April when this all started. And, in another 3 or 4 months, they're going to run into the year what happens to those people? Well, there are a couple of different options that have been worked out for people who get to forbearance, who want to come out of forbearance. So number one is if you've missed payments, if you've missed any of your forbearance payments, mortgage payments while you've been in forbearance, you'll either have to make those up or they will take the amount that you owe and they'll add it to the back of your loan. So at the end of your loan, you'll have this payment that's due. Or they can re-amortize your mortgage so that you get basically a new streamlined mortgage that includes those payments that just add into the whole amount, and then they're going to redo your mortgage from the get-go. And if you can't afford any payment at the end of this, there are a couple of other options that they can do for workouts. So getting yourself out of forbearance is an important thing to do. If you have a Fannie Mae loan, you can go to FannieMae.com and look up your forbearance options. Freddie Mac, you can go there, or you can just go to consumerfinance.gov. Consumerfinance.gov. That is the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, CFPB.gov. And on the website, they have a list of things that you need to know for COVID, and it'll show you where to get help. And then you can look for mortgage holders and renters, right? And it will walk you through the various options at consumerfinance.gov. So, you know, one other thing, I just want to say this, it's a little bit off topic for this question, but one of the things that we have dealt with in this state in particular, and perhaps it's because, you know, what Terry said last half hour about how IDES is not the greatest at unemployment, that the technology could be updated and they could really improve the call center, and all that is true, and they're overwhelmed, got it. But the thing you have to think about is there is so much fraud around COVID, and I am getting, it's not just what I said in the last show. I talked about how I actually jokingly fired myself because I got an unemployment statement for me as if I fired myself from my company. And of course, for three other employees, including somebody who hasn't worked for me in years. So there's definitely a lot of fraud going on right now. When you go to consumerfinance.gov, what you can see are all of the different kinds of fraud around COVID. And what they really want you to do is make sure that you are protecting yourself in all sorts of ways. So it goes beyond phishing and vishing and all this other stuff that we talk about all the time on the show. It goes beyond that. You know, the COVID stuff is scary and damaging, and they're preying on people who are already injured, out of work, you know, worried about their finances. And they want to make sure that you're protecting yourself and not getting scammed on top of everything else. One of the things that I've been recommending lately is that you have to go and set up your alerts and your accounts with the three credit reporting bureaus. And when we come back, I'll tell you exactly why you want to do that and how to protect yourself there for free. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute. Here's Steve Grzanich right now.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. New numbers from the Census Bureau shows Illinois population on a further downward trend. The latest data shows a little more than 12.5 million residents in Illinois as of July 2020. That's down about 80,000 from 2019. It's the seventh consecutive year Illinois has seen a decline in population, the longest state losing streak in the country. There are more than 250,000 fewer residents in Illinois than there were in 2010. Alaska Airlines is giving a vote of confidence in Boeing 737 MAX by opening its checkbook. The airlines put in an order for 68 of the planes with an option for 52 more. 737 MAX was just cleared to fly again after being grounded for nearly 2 years following two crashes that killed 350 people. The Trump administration's unveiled new regulations this week that will allow lead pipes to stay in the ground in Chicago and other cities. The regulations won't require anything new to prevent people from ingesting material from toxic plumbing. Aside from filtering, experts say replacing pipes is the only real way to protect people, but the new federal rules will delay lead pipe replacement for up to 30 years and in some cases indefinitely. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
so nice to hear the Christmas music. Kind of puts everything in the spirit, right? You've got your Christmas cookies in front of you, or maybe now they're a lot fewer because, you know, the hour's gone on. How long can you sit there staring at Christmas cookies and not eating them? For me, about 5 seconds is all I'm going to say. I'm Elise Kling sitting in for John Williams this week. So glad you're joining us here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Tim joins us on the line now from Darien. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How's it going this week?
Oh, not too bad. Very busy with work, but I think we're getting close to the end here with the holidays showing up. So
eventually, it's going to be Friday. You know, it'll be Christmas. You're gonna, no more time left. You're going to have to just take the day off.
That's right. That's right.
How can I help you?
So I had a question regarding your last segment here on unemployment fraud with COVID related. So both my wife and I are currently working, which we're fortunate. But how do we check to see if someone is claiming unemployment on our behalf? Because I heard on, I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard some other show where they, some, it happened to some people where they were working, but then they start receiving unemployment checks even though they never filed.
Right.
Is there any way to check?
Well, so first of all, you and your wife can check with your employers, your HR department, because when someone files for unemployment, you don't necessarily get a notification, but the employer does. That's how we found out that I had fired myself.
Gotcha.
So you can check with them and just say, you know, you're worried about it. But the other thing that you should do, and this is not just for this scam, but all scams, right? You should be looking online at your accounts, particularly your bank account, multiple times a month to make sure that you've got safe passwords, and that if you can do a two-step authentication, that you've got that, and then make sure you don't have unemployment money that's been deposited. But the way these scams are working is that states will issue blank cards, like stored value cards or debit cards, and they're loading the unemployment money onto the benefit onto the card. So it might not even hit your account. It might or it might not. So you want to look for those. That would be the only way to do it. The big thing, though, is on the other side. Here's what you have to watch for anybody who has been a victim of this. And by the way, this is, you are being a victim of identity theft when this happens to you. And so you should take all the precautions that you can. Like, I locked down my credit. It was already on freeze everywhere, but I double checked and made sure. I filed a fraud report, and now next year when I get my 1099s, if the state has paid you an unemployment insurance benefit, you will get a 1099 from the state, and that will be a big red flag for you, because if you don't take care of it and tell them, hey, this was, I didn't get this money, this is fraud, and pull out your fraud, you know, file a fraud report, what ends up happening is that that could be treated as income to you, and you'll end up paying taxes on that. It can really screw up a tax return.
Absolutely.
So
that was my concern. So.
Yeah. Well, so it's good to try and, I don't know that this is one of those fraud things that you can be proactive about other than to just stay hyper vigilant and make sure that, that you're not actually, that if something does happen to you, that you've locked down your credit. And the way to do this, I was just about to talk about this when we went to break. The way you lock down your credit, it's so easy now, it's online. You can sign up for a free online account with Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, which are the three major credit reporting agencies.
Right.
And then they will allow you to easily freeze your credit and engage a security freeze, security lock. They all call it little different things. But basically, it means nobody can apply for any new credit, including you, with that when that is frozen. And so that will prevent identity thieves and bad actors who happen to have your social security number from being able to open up credit accounts in your name. It won't prevent them from being able to file for unemployment, sadly, but at least it will give you protection on the rest of it.
Sure. Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Merry Christmas, and I hope it's a happy New Year for you, Tim.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we have just a couple of texts I just want to get to right before the end of the hour, and we just have a minute left. From 847, my husband and I filed jointly, make over $150,000. Will we qualify for the $600 payment? Sadly, no. The limit is $75,000 for an individual and $150,000 for joint filing. And if you are over that limit, you also will not qualify for the dependent $600 a piece. And I say $600. I know that the president said $2,000. Right now, $600 is on the table. So we're just going to go with that and hope for the best. Thank you so much to everybody who listened and participated in our Christmas movie list. We are putting up that list right now. Really appreciate you being a part of the show today. Tomorrow, I'll be back. We're going to do more Christmas Eve stuff. It's hard to believe it's almost Christmas. We'll talk about gifts and other fun Christmassy things that have come along the way. But in the meantime, I hope you all have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Get out and enjoy that sunshine. And you can find me, as always, at bestmoneymoves.com or thinklink.com.